title of our lesson today is Beautiful Are the Feet. And our devotional and background study comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I wonder if there be any announcements before we go to our class. If not, let's go to Sunday school class.
Good to have everyone laughing at my expense.
It's another good thing. Our lesson today is Beautiful Are the Feet. Now, I can see this pretty good, but it's not the greatest thing. But this is taken from the 10th chapter of Romans, verses 10 through 18. And this is Paul in his letter to the Romans, and he says, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you find when you read that this is a recipe for salvation itself. Just listen to this. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's exactly what we teach here. But it's amazing to me, as I said and read this scripture, how many different so-called churches or organizations or whatever you want to call them don't practice this, don't teach this. A lot of it is just confession by the mouth. Come up and tell what you feel, or what is it that you want to do. I mentioned this to Brenda, I think, about a lady, I can't remember the particulars now, but a lady had passed away, I believe. Oh, I know where it was. It was that lady that got killed by that tractor trailer that ran through her house. They was talking about how good she was. And they said one of the good qualities about her, she was baptized in like 1991. Now see, if that's all that she has, it's not enough. Because here is the recipe, right here that I just read you. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation. In other words, you first get it here, and then you tell it. That's the confession. You go out and tell the world what God has done for you, and you become an example. You become a walking, living example of what God has done for you and how He did it. You don't profess to have been baptized whenever it was. You don't profess to have signed a card that made you a member of a church or did whatever, or you don't have a or you're not baptized as an infant, it's this 10th verse right here that is the way to salvation. And Paul goes on to say, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed," or not put to shame is a better translation. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." In other words, there's no difference between Jews, there's no difference between Gentiles. God hears us all. And he is willing to save all who come to him and believe. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's a building block right there that cannot be changed. Whoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's a theme throughout the Scriptures, that whoever calls on his name shall be saved. There's no doubt about it. You don't have any reason to doubt, because this is quoted many times throughout the Scriptures.
Or don't you think some of the churches use that kind of target around? All you got to do is come up here and call on the Lord.
They do, Billy. And you know, they want you to come up there and make a profession of Christ. "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Well, who doesn't believe that, except maybe the Buddhists and the Muslims and who else? But I'm talking about we here in the United States, we were raised to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I mean, even Damien understands that. And even kids and throughout this neighborhood probably understand that Jesus is the Son of God. But it's much more than that. And they do twist that. They really do. And you see it every day.
First, when I read that, the ninth verse this morning, I thought, well, that's where I have so many people that have come. That's where they stop. But if you go to that 10th verse, it says, "For with the heart, man believeth."
Right.
I think those that go down and sign that card and go on to church, they'll stop on that ninth verse. You see, I mean, it says confess with the mouth. The 10th verse says with the heart.
Well, but that ninth verse. They do. But the ninth verse does say that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But, you know, let's take this woman for example. And I'm not trying to judge her. God may have saved her soul at some time. And I hope he did. I pray that he did. But if she is just relying on baptism, she's falling far short of this recipe for salvation. And you've got to be saved if you're ever going to see Jesus. You've got to be saved. You've got to become one of his. And the only way that you can do that is through salvation. I've told y'all this many times. I know I've repeated this a lot, but when I was in junior high school, I helped a friend of mine study so that he could join the United Methodist Church and become a member. And that study included a test that he was going to have to go to his church and he was going to have to take. And I can remember us sitting in his room was in the basement of his house, and I can remember us sitting down in his room studying, me asking the questions and him having to learn the answers to so that he could take that and go back and become a member of the United Methodist Church. Listen, people, there's some sad things going on out here in the world. People are getting, they're getting deceived, and they're getting led off into a devil's hell because of that deceiving. And they're going by the thousand every single day. And it's just a shame. Because when I look at these scriptures, I don't see them being difficult at all to understand. I mean, I know that some of the wording sometimes is hard to understand. But when it's as plain as, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, that's not confusing to me. I understand what that means. So it's hard for me to understand how people can just come up with all different rules and regulations that they have put forth, and then people have to follow that, to follow after that. Now, this goes on to say, well, let me back up to the 13th. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now, that's the first thing. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? In other words, how does the world call upon somebody that they don't know anything about? How does the world call upon somebody who they've never heard of? That's the question that's being asked here. And Paul is going to go into giving the answer. He says, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now we're getting to the crux of the matter. There is a way that people hear the truth. Now let me read on here. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now that's a verse. It's taken from the 52nd chapter of Isaiah and the 7th verse. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now, I got a little ahead of myself right there. But there is a way that people are able to believe this morning. And that there is only one way. First of all, you have to have knowledge. You have to have knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. Now that just don't come to you as a child as you grow older. That just doesn't come to you in a way that helps you to be saved until you see the vehicle that was provided to bring that message to you. And that vehicle was God called preachers. And there's been God called preachers down throughout the years, beginning with the prophets and going on into the New Testament when God called out the apostles. And listen, and Luke, I think he called out 70 preachers to go out and spread the news. And then down through generations, thank God that he has called more preachers to carry the good news, to carry the gospel out to lost and dying world. So then, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's what our lesson about today is. God called preachers. How did this message get here today? Where did it come from? Well, it come from God. It's where it came from. How did it get here? Obviously, it got here with the help of God, but it got here because there was a time in history when God called preachers, took enough abuse that they gathered their small flock together, put them on a ship, and came over to the New World and established churches here. And we are a beneficiary of that event. From the time they landed at Plymouth Rock until they came down into North Carolina and across into Kentucky and Tennessee, the church has grown and gone and moved and been every step of the way, carrying the gospel that people might hear, that they might believe. So how can you believe if you've never heard? So how are you going to hear except God called a preacher? And that's kind of basic, like this 10th verse up here, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth professes. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that recipe right there. It's because of God called preachers. And we need to thank God for what that he has given us in the past, and we need to pray to God that he would continue to give us preachers that will help this gospel reach out. Maybe not here in Middle Tennessee, but somewhere the gospel is needed. Now, remember, we've got, what, one or two churches now established in Japan, right? We've got a church in Africa. We've got churches kind of scattered all around Africa. And we've probably got churches that may not be called missionary Baptists, but may be still preaching the truth, sort of scattered all over the world. Well, listen to what the Scripture says. So when faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now, you know, all this was done without the electronic help of television or radio. For thousands of years, the gospel has reached out to the ends of the world. Was it the last chapter of Matthew where Jesus gave the Great Commission? Where he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Well, now we find here in Romans that Paul writes, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. So we find that the Scriptures have come and they've gone and they've passed through what the Bible is talking about as being most of the world already. And in the 24th verse, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, in the 14th verse, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, this is Jesus talking, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So, you see, there's still a need for these God-called preachers. There's still a need for the message to get out, because there's still people out there that are lost and dying in this world. So how great is the responsibility of a God-called preacher that he stand and preach the message that it might reach out to all the world? Because Jesus said, when it reaches everybody and it's been preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then the end shall come. So somewhere along the line, and I can't help believe we're not too far away from it, the end is going to be here. And when it comes, where are the people going to be? Where are the people of the world going to be? Now, if you remember in Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? He's asking, how many of these people believe what we're telling them? Well, I'll tell you right now, I believe a very few. You look at us today. We're just a very few people here that I believe what the Scriptures say. Where is everybody else? They're still out there searching and looking or thinking they have found it, when all they have is Satan's spirit giving them confusion, hardening their heart, blocking their vision towards what is truly being said in the Word of God. And they're not listening to what the preachers are saying. They're wanting to live their own lives. And this world is getting itself in such a shape, I don't even know that Jesus will even recognize it when he comes back, when he does come back. But I'll tell you, somebody he will recognize. It'll be his people. He'll recognize us for being strong and standing on God's word that he will come back and that he is still in a saving mood. Romans, the first chapter of Romans says, it is the power of God unto salvation. That's all it takes, this power of God. He does this on his own. He does this by himself. It's not anything we do. The only part that we have in our salvation is the part that we have to believe. Everything else God does. We don't have to work for it. I was just a small boy. I didn't have to work for it. I didn't buy it. I didn't have any money to buy it. All I had was just me. They were sitting in church listening to a God-called preacher expound upon the scriptures. And as I have said many times before, me sitting there on the front bench with a bunch of other boys, feeling that Brother Ray was pointing directly at me. I mean, his sermon hit me so hard today. He could have come over and touched me, and it wouldn't surprise me anymore that sermon was directed at me. He could have stood up there and called my name out in the pulpit, and I would have agreed with him that I'm the one that he's talking about. So you see the power that these preachers have, that they have over the lost, and they have over those who have been saved, those who are struggling in life. You see, they have a calling of God upon them. And when God called on Brother Ray to take that big paw of his and point at me, I don't think he really pointed at me, but I really felt he pointed at me. I felt he just called me out. And God saved my soul. What a wondrous day that was. I'll never forget it. So anyway, that's my lesson. Beautiful are the feet. Speaking of preachers who are called out to carry the gospel. Let's don't put them on a pedestal because they're just being saved by grace. But let's pray for them that word might reach out to somebody somewhere that stands in need today. Anyone have anything to say? Because we can go on and on and on and never even really touch on baptism. And I haven't really ever thought of that, but when I get my experience, very seldom do I ever tell about being baptized. But you're right. You hear, that's the first thing you hear from a lot of mouths. Exactly. Anyone else?
That's a good indicator that they don't have a clue.
It is. And you know, you hate to say that. You hate to say that they don't have a clue, but they really don't. If that's all they got going, they really don't have a clue. And you notice, too, that the scriptures we read today talking about believing with the heart, confessing with the mouth, and never mention anything about baptism either. Now, the thing that Paul has to say about baptism. Yeah, that's a good point. Anyone else? Well, Queen, would you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this living today, for the strength that you give us to come out of the house one more time. Thank you, Heavenly Father, this morning for the Sunday school lesson, and when they taught you, Heavenly Father, most of all, for salvation of our soul. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you just bless us here this morning. Pastor, at the next service, Lord, you do that to preach to us that we need to hear. And pray, Heavenly Father, for all your blessings. And pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are connected with our church and still lost. And Heavenly Father, they will seek to be for their soul's salvation. Lord, that would be our last and due name. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.